Hello, everyone. It's Sharon here, and welcome to our April Living Generously interview. And this is where we shine the spotlight on people who are living generously, and then I will talk about a generosity trait that they exemplify. Now, April is the month that I like to turn our attention to the environment. And it may not be something that you think about on a regular basis, but your connection to the natural world is intimate, and it is vital to your physical and mental health on a daily basis. And if you just take something as simple and as humble as an apple, you know, it took thousands of years of human and plant interaction to create this large, juicy, sweet apple. And for this apple to arrive in your hand, it had to bloom, the blossom had to be fertilized, it had to grow, the fruit had to be harvested, the tree had to be acclimatized in the winter, all for that apple to arrive in your hand. It is an intricate dance between weather, water, sunshine, a vast array of animals, plants, fungi, bacteria in ways that we don't even fully understand yet. And although it all seems to happen effortlessly, it is neither simple nor guaranteed. So when we talk about taking care of the environment, we're talking in a very real way about taking care of ourselves. But it's not just literal and physical, because I believe that in nature, it's the place where we kind of meet our ancient self. You know, that part of us so many years ago that grew up in the wild, and our bare feet padded the forest floor, and our lives depended on noticing the sights and the sounds and the smells of all of the nature around us. And I think we still notice this, we feel this today when we're gazing out at an ocean or over a meadow, and that ancient self is calmed by nature's music and it wants to return home. I believe that our connection to nature is essential for our mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being, not just as an individual, but as a culture as well. Our guest today exemplifies the generosity trait of leadership. Now, generosity is not a thought experiment. It only happens when someone does it. It has to exist in the world. And our guest today has taken a leadership role at a very young age, and he's not only taking action, but he's inspiring other people to be leaders and to take action. And I'm very excited to welcome our guest, Charles Orgbon, who founded Greening Forward in 2008 when he was just 12 years old. Now, after noticing the school's littering problem when he was in the fifth grade, he began leading school-based community beautification projects. And then he quickly realized that the environmental movement was not supporting young environmental change makers. So he created Greening Forward. And today, this is a youth-driven, youth-imagined organization, and it's grown into the largest movement of its kind. Greening Forward has distributed over tens of thousands of dollars in funding to youth environmental projects that plant trees, build compost bins, install rain barrels, monitor streams, recycle tons of waste. They've planned numerous international young environmentalist youth summits, and they advocate for a number of other environmental issues. Charles, thank you so much for joining me today.
Awesome. It is a pleasure to be here, Sharon.
So I imagine when you were in the fifth grade and you were starting these community projects, you didn't imagine it would turn into what it was today.
Absolutely not, actually. I wanted to first get an A, get a 100 in the service project that I was required to complete for my class. So I literally picked the easiest thing that I could possibly find at the time, and that was picking up litter around my school campus. My principal even gave me gloves, he even gave me the plastic bags, and I already stayed after school. But what that started for me was a series of questions, like why would someone blatantly destroy our planet? It just did not make any sense to me. And so I took what resources I had, which was a computer in the age of access, and found in the almighty Google some quite interesting facts about environmental degradation and what was really happening all around our planet, and how it's more than just littering, but our ice caps are melting, and habitats are being destroyed. And I wanted people to know more about this. Because just like I had found about it, I wanted to share this message with other people. And that began a series of realizing that young people need support and help and resources around creating an environmental difference around these issues. And so Greening Forward would then transform from just a website where I got to share my thoughts about these things to an organization that would fund and train young people around environmental issues in their communities.
So how do you choose the projects? Give us just a kind of a glimpse into the inner workings of Greening Forward. How do you all choose what to work on?
Totally. So Greening Forward is a group of high school and college students. The core team of Greening Forward are about 10 part-time team members and volunteers who get to do funding and training programs that impact 2,000 young people each year. So we plan two conferences where young people come together with their ideas for how to create change in their communities, in their schools, sometimes around the world. And these are young people who are passionate about estuary protection in Low Country, South Carolina, to stream water monitoring in the Smoky Mountains, to vertical learning gardens in the Bronx of New York City, to plastics-free campaigns and helping citizens realize that we don't need a plastic straw or plastic bags in all across our country. So these are young people who have varied environmental issues, and we want to be able to support any young person that comes to us with a project idea and be able to give them the training and resources that they need. And so once they come to one of our conferences, they then can apply for a grant. And we've given away over $72,000 in grants to date since 2009 to young people who've had an idea for community improvement around environmental issue. And so the young people write the grants at our conferences or after our conferences, and we get to fund them and train them and continue to mentor them and support their growth. And when I say train, we're talking about how does a young environmentalist tackle things like engaging the media in their campaign or finding more funding and more resources or leading a volunteer team, or what kind of process would you go through if you don't know where to start? And so we have training modules around that as well, discovering your own community, taking a community inventory, asking questions, interviewing people, then coming up with a project that actually solves the root cause of an environmental issue. So we're helping to support the leadership skills of young people who have an interest in environmental issues, because just as it's important to learn how to read and write, we think it's also important that in this day and age, young people also know how to make a difference around the global and complex issues that we're going to have to address in our generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're training them not just on how to get money to fund their project, but how to have successful projects, how to get community buy-in to move those things forward. And as they apply from grants from you, these are skills that will apply for getting grants from other organizations as well.
Absolutely, and we can be a connector in many different ways. I think that our organization knows how to play in the sandbox very well, so to speak, with other organizations, and that sometimes we're going for joint funding together with some of our youth projects or some adult-led organizations. We know that we're stronger together, and partnerships are the reason that we're successful and have been able to get anything accomplished in our organization. So we want to support youth-driven environmental projects, and we want to support partnerships that help make that happen.
Mm-hmm. So this is a great example of, I think, a very high caliber of leadership, where the leadership is not just about me and what I want, but how can I help you get what you want? How can we work together on things? How can you learn what I learn?
Absolutely. And, you know, you find that there's so many environmental organizations that exist. And, you know, someone might ask, like, why do we have thousands of environmental organizations? And I think that a lot of us are trying to address the same things, and there's a lot of similarities. And I think that as the environmental movement, one of the criticisms I have is that we could be working better together to address these issues, and that organizations could also be investing more into their youth programs. And that's what I think the void is, that Greening Four is trying to fix, is that we're still having to convince adult-led organizations why they need youth on their board of directors. Why do they need authentic youth engagement programs? Why do their internships need to be true pipelines into what we see at the staff level? And we think that, well, we know that young people are more multicultural than ever before in history. And so when we engage young people in very substantive and meaningful roles within our organizations, ways that are not manipulative, that are not tokenized, then we can also address a really serious diversity deficit that the environmental movement holds. For example, it wasn't until last year that an environmental organization with a budget of more than $1 million had a CEO of color. So we're going to need to bring in masses of people to support our agendas to support the environment, and that includes multicultural communities of all kinds. So I think that when young people are engaged, we can also make our movement more resilient. And so that's what Greening Forward, I think, at the end of the day, is working to change, is working to change the way that adults think about and partner with young people. I don't think 20, 30 years ago, were we having international conferences where we actually gave young people a voice at the table when it came to decision making. I guess the assumption is that young people don't vote, so they can't, they shouldn't be involved in policy making. But when actually, if we're expecting young people to actually care about something, then we need to give them an authentic voice as well.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And as you were talking, what I was just thinking about is, you know, this idea of, you know, future leaders. But really, if you're leading now, you know, you are part of the environmental community. And there's really almost kind of an arbitrary distinction between, you know, the adults and what younger people are doing. It's just, you know, you're at an earlier part of your life. But in many ways, you know, you already have more environmental experience and leadership skills than many people in America do.
Or just a different perspective, which is very healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Different experiences and different ways of talking, which all adds to, like you said, the diversity and ultimately the strength of the environmental movement. So what is next for Greening Forward?
So Greening Forward is continuing to develop young people and young leaders around environmental issues. We actually have our international conference coming up, which is May 13th and 14th in New York City. We partner with New York City Department of Education to make that happen. And it's a two-day conference that explores how young people can create change around any environmental issue. So we'll have folks there talking about renewable energy, talking about waste, water issues, food, environmental justice, food access, those sorts of things, as well, excuse me, as well as how can young people use effective leadership skills to address these problems. Because what we find is that young people have so much passion around these issues, mm-hmm. And so much energy and so much creativity. And how can we support that and give them an outlet to use what they hope to accomplish? So we want them to be effective in their campaigns. And so that's why these trainings around capacity building and development are so necessary.
Awesome. You know, I actually have an experience when I was in high school during my junior year. We put on the Youth Environmental Summit, and that was many years ago. But it was a very crucial event for me. We learned so much, and it really kind of cemented my belief that we have to take care of this this beautiful place that we live. So I think it's awesome. I didn't know that these things were still going on, and I just love to see that it's out there, and I hope that other people have the same experience that I did. So Earth Day is coming up Friday, April 22nd. Do you have any suggestions for people and what they can do on Earth Day?
Certainly. I hope that families out there make Earth Day a family celebration, a family event, that you bring your kids with you to these volunteer events for Earth Day, so that they see that their parents are showing the way, leading the way, explaining, this can be a teachable moment. And there are plenty of Earth Day events that are local. And I think that could have a really big impact in showing young people from a very early age that this is something that's going to be innate to them when they grow up. Simple things like recycling and being good students, stewards of our planet.
Mm-hmm. So I'll add a few thoughts to that. So I always encourage people to take action and do something. And, as we're learning here today, leadership about is about doing. So I invite you to become a leader in your own environmental activities. You can be a leader in your home and some things that you can do to reduce your home's energy impact. You can install weather stripping. You can caulk around windows, replace light bulbs or toilets with higher efficiency models. Increase or decrease the temperature of your heater AC depending on the seasons that we're using less electricity. You can be a leader in your consumption. What we consume causes a lot of waste, so can you bring reusable bags to the grocery store? Avoid single-serve items. Compost kitchen and yard waste. Shop secondhand stores. Use a travel mug. Can you make your own chemical-free cleaners? So any opportunity you can find to reduce, reuse, recycle will make you a leader in reducing your consumption impact. And then, as we have seen with Greening Forward, you're invited to become a leader in your environmental activism. And this can happen in many different ways. You can call your congressperson, and if you go to, I'm forgetting the website now, you can find your congressional representatives online and call them up and let them know that clean air and water are important to you, that you want them to take action. You can sign petitions asking multinational corporations to use fair trade policies. And very importantly, vote with your wallet and buy from companies that are pursuing local and sustainable practices, because if they know it matters to you, they will continue to behave or start behaving in ways that are good for the environment. So those are a few more ideas that I have. Charles, would you let us know how we can support you in Greening Forward?
I think the simple thing is for folks to take their web browsers to greeningforward.org and learn more about our organization. If you're here as an educator, or you are a youth service practitioner, or you work with young people in some way, and you need our help around understanding youth voice and or how your organization can better integrate youth leadership into your organization, please reach out to us. If you have young people that might be interested in coming to one of our conferences, please check that out as well. There are scholarships that are available to support them. We have young people coming as far as England and Canada, and as well as here domestically as far as New Mexico and California. So nowhere's too far. So I encourage folks to take their browsers to greeningforward.org.
Greeningforward.org and see if you're interested in participating or supporting their great work. And Charles, thank you for showing us that you are never too young to be a leader and for helping develop the next generation of environmental leaders.